Sermon this morning comes from the book of Lamentations. It's a fairly obscure book to many. It's in between Jeremiah and Ezekiel in the Old Testament. So if you find Jeremiah, go forward. If you find Ezekiel, go backwards. It's in between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Not only is it somewhat obscure, it's not a very pleasant book to read for reasons which will become clear during the course of the sermon, and which in some measure are parallel to the times in which we find ourselves today as well. And I'll have more to say about that in the course of the sermon. We're going to be reading verses 19 through 24, although we'll have occasion to look at previous verses in the chapter in the course of the sermon. So, but for now, let's pray. Let's ask for God to bless His Word. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we are thankful that You are our Father. We are thankful that we can come to You in times such as ours, and that we can come to You through the pages of the Word that You have caused to be written, that there we may hear You, and that there we might find You. For the Bible, as it were, is a window into heaven itself by which we can draw near to You. But we pray that the Holy Spirit, who caused these words to be written many years ago through Your servant Jeremiah, that He Himself would make them alive to us today. So hear and heed our prayer. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Beginning in verse 19, in Lamentations chapter 3, Jeremiah speaking. Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. 4 points to the sermon this morning, which I have entitled in your bulletin, An Old Year's Sermon. I mentioned last week, but for those of you that were not here, in our tradition, the last Sunday of the year, and in many churches like the one I served in Michigan years ago, there's actually a New Year's Eve service. And the theme of that service, whether the last Sunday or the last day of the year, is an Old Year's Sermon. It's a sermon which is an occasion and a time to reflect on the year gone by and God's hand in it. So that's the point of this sermon, this Lord's Day. And this portion of God's Word, as you might have gathered from what we have just read, is about God's faithfulness. And 4 points to the sermon. First of all, the covenantal context of God's faithfulness. Secondly, the core of God's faithfulness. Thirdly, the companions of God's faithfulness. And fourthly, the confidence one can have in God's faithfulness. 2020 is a year, I suspect, that all of us will be glad to see in the rearview mirror. It's been a terrible year for many of us individually, and familially, but as a church particularly. Victor Morales, early on in the year, was afflicted with the coronavirus and led to his passing into glory. Alvin's father, whom none of us really knew, but was in a nursing home, also came down with the virus and succumbed to it, which took his life. We have been people that have lost wages. We have had a nation subject to riots and unrest, specifically after the Floyd killing in Minnesota. And perhaps most mundane of all is we suffer from Zoom fatigue. But all of these things have occurred in 2020. And at the end of the year, the end of such a year, we need a word of hope. And that's what we find in chapter 3 of Lamentations. I suspect for most, if not all, this remains somewhat of an obscure book, so allow me to set the context broadly of what's going on here. Jeremiah, the prophet, is the author, and he is the author of the prior book to this, which is entitled Jeremiah. That prophecy was a book of warning. It was a book of warning to the nation of Israel for their unbelief and for their disobedience to the Lord. It warned them that their unfaithfulness would lead to God's executing his judgment and his wrath on them. The book of Lamentations is not a book of warning, but it is a book of mourning, because God's judgment has been executed upon Israel for their unbelief and their disobedience. We'll note that momentarily. And as a result of that, Israel has been taken into captivity in Babylon. It's the 6th century B.C., 586 specifically, and they are taken into exile with all the miseries and suffering which attended that. And that's what we read about in verses 1 through 20. So look at that with me, if you would. It's somewhat instructive. Jeremiah speaking here, "I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand, again and again the whole day long. He has made my flesh and my skin waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago. He has walled me about so that I cannot escape. He has made my chains heavy. Though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with blocks of stones. He has made my paths crooked. He is a bear lying in wait for me, a lion in hiding. He has turned aside my steps and tore me to pieces. He has made me desolate. He bent his bow and set me as a target for his arrow. He drove into my kidneys the arrows of his quiver. I have become the laughingstock of all peoples, the objects of their taunts all day long. He has filled me with bitterness. He has sated me with wormwood. He has made my teeth grind on gravel and has made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say my endurance has perished, and so has my hope from the Lord." I suspect that no matter what any of us have endured in the last 9 months of these COVID times, they pale in comparison to what misery and suffering God brought upon the nation of Israel. What I'd like you to notice, though, is the third-person singular pronoun in each of these verses. He. The repeated reference is, of course, to God. But God has done this. Look at chapter 1 and verse 12, where it's explicit. "Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by, look and see if there's any sorrow like my sorrow, which was brought upon me, which the Lord inflicted on the day of his fierce anger?" God did this. And why this is a covenantal context is that God is being faithful to his covenant in executing this judgment and wrath upon Israel. He's being faithful to his covenant. Jeremiah the prophet, as I mentioned momentarily ago, had warned Israel. God over and over again sent prophets to his people to warn them. The prophets of the Old Testament were like God's prosecuting attorneys to the nation of Israel, bringing God's charges against them, their unbelief, their disobedience, their idolatry, their forsaking the Lord, their not loving the Lord, their chasing after other gods, and urging them, not just charging them and condemning them, but urging them to repent, to return to the Lord, return or else. The curses of the covenant will rain down upon your head. And Jeremiah had warned Israel that those curses would follow and urged them, pleaded with them to turn from their ways, to return to the Lord. Now, as I said a few moments ago, this pales, what we have undergone in the last 9 months pales in comparison to what is written here. And in many ways, it's unlike Lamentations, but in some ways, it's like it. It's unlike because no nation is like Israel as a nation today. They were unique in the history of God's dealing with humanity, and there is no nation today that can identify itself with Israel the way that we read about it in the Bible. They most certainly were unique. So it's unlike that. But it's like that because sin, suffering, and death are some sort of exile that we experience. There is not one virus in the world that is free apart from the sovereign rule and control of God. And just as in the Bible, the righteous suffer along with the wicked. It's what many people don't understand about God's covenantal dealings. Here's Jeremiah in the verses that we read, who obviously is a representative of the remnant of the faithful in Israel, and they're encouraged by what he writes here. But he suffered along with those who were unfaithful because God deals with people covenantally. And so in our nation, although we are not like Israel, we, the faithful in the United States, suffer along with the rest of our nation despite their unfaithfulness. God is in control. In times past, it was common to refer to such natural tragedies as acts of God. You don't hear that phrase much, if at all, anymore. And when things such as a pandemic afflicted a nation, there were calls for national repentance, for national fasting, for national prayer, but only in the church, and even there sparsely, do we hear such calls today. This is the covenantal context of what is written here. And if I could just, as an aside, mention that in 2 Timothy 2, we read these words, "If we are faithless, he remains faithful." That is often interpreted to mean that even if we are faithless, God will be faithful and see us through to the end. I would submit to you that what's being written there is a reflection of what we read in the here in the pages of Jeremiah and elsewhere in the Old Testament. That is, if we are faithless, God will be faithful to his covenant, not to preserve a people, but to bring his judgment and wrath upon them. No, if we are faithless, he will be faithful, just as he was faithful here to his own covenant nation, Israel. So, the covenantal context of God's faithfulness, but the core of God's faithfulness is found in the verses that we read, because I think maybe it was John Calvin who said that God's wrath is his strange work. He does not delight in judgment. He delights in mercy. And it is that of which we read in the verses of our text. The core of God's faithfulness is found in verse 23. Look at the text. His mercies are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. It's the words from which the hymn many of us are familiar with, Great is your faithfulness, comes. Great is your faithfulness. Your mercies are new every morning. The word there for faithfulness is sure, dependable, trustworthy. In Hebrew, it is emunah. In Greek, it is the word amen. And look at verse 21. But this I call to mind. What is he calling to mind? He's calling to mind God's faithfulness and mercies, which never come to an end, that his compassions are new every morning. This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. It is this that has sustained many, if not most or all of us, during these COVID times, the last 9 months. When Victor Morales passed away, it were these words that were spoken to Dolores by many. His mercies are new every morning. God is good. God is faithful. God can be trusted. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Amidst all the uncertainty, the confusion, the conflicting advice and everything, there's time to stop and say, this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. And that's exactly what needs to be done, is to stop and call to mind, remember, recall who God is, what God has done in Jesus Christ for his people, and that God is faithful, his mercies are new every morning, and his compassions fail not. Look at verse 21. Therefore, I have hope. Hope is not a wish. Hope is not a prayer that we hope, think God answers, right? Hope is grounded in reality. Hope is based on the person, the character, and the acts of God. And in Jeremiah simply says, I stop amidst all of this that God has done. All of this disaster which is from the hand of God, which we most certainly are deserving of, we could hear Jeremiah say. And yet this, I stop and call to mind, and therefore I have hope. I have hope that for those that are faithful, I have hope to those of the remnant that are believing, that are following the Lord, that are trusting the Lord, that there is hope, that in the darkness there is light. It brings us to the companions of God's faithfulness. Verse 22, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, and his mercies never come to an end. His compassions, in the word of the song, if you're familiar with it, great is your faithfulness, his compassions, they fail not. These are the companions of God's faithfulness, his steadfast love. Many of you know that that word in the Hebrew is chesed. It's a reference to God's covenant love. God's covenant love. And it's the word here is plural, although it's somewhat obscured by the English translation. It's plural because it's so great, it's so multidimensional, it's so vast that the singular is inadequate. The steadfast love of the Lord for his faithful people never ceases. And then his mercies or his compassions. The word is racham. It speaks of bowels filled with compassion. It's used of the tender love a mother has for her children. And those of you that are mothers or even mothers-to-be know what that tender love is like. Through the ups and downs of life, through the scrapes and the bruises, through the sicknesses, through the sleepless night, the mother is there, filled with compassion, tender love being exercised over and over and over again to the child. Their compassions never fail. It's the image that God uses here, likening himself, if you will, though a father, to a mother, as he often does. It's a story I came across in preparation for the tender love of a mother. I commend it to you as perhaps exemplary. In a 1996 issue of Christianity Today, Susan Shelley, a director of Christian education in a church in Chicago, was telling about the birth of her first child, Mandy, a daughter born with microcephaly. Small cephaly is a brain, a small brain. She writes extensively pages about the seizures that would grip Mandy several times a day, the constant medication, the visits to the hospital, the surgeries that they went through, the nights they spent without sleep, the tears that they shed, the tensions that came into their marriage as a result of it. And then, unexpectedly, she discovers she's pregnant again. And she visits the doctor, and she says, the doctor tells her, in what she says is a matter-of-fact voice, that the baby was malformed. The aorta attached incorrectly, missing portions of the brain. The baby had a club foot, a cleft palate, a cleft tongue, possibly spina bifida. It's a condition, the doctor said, incompatible with life, and he urged her to have an abortion. And she said no, and went to full term and delivered a little baby boy. The nurses said to her and her husband, do you have a name for him? Toby, she says, short for the Bible name Tobiah, which means God is good. When her husband was recounting this story to a group of alumni at Wheaton College, he concluded his talk with these words, life is hard and God is good. Life is hard, and God is good. That's Lamentations. It's what Jeremiah is saying. Life is hard, but God is good. His mercies are literally new for the morning, and his compassions never fail. That supplies hope. And then lastly, if you look at the text, it's an interesting transition that occurs as we come to the supply of confidence in God's faithfulness. Look at verse 21. But this I call to mind, therefore I have hope, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases, etc. What's he doing? He's speaking about God there. But look at verse 24. You see it's quoted there. Now he's speaking to God. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Literally, God is everything to me. God is my life. God is my all. Therefore, I will hope in him. As he talks about God in verse 21, he says, I have hope because I know God. I know his character. I know his deeds. I know his acts. I know his history. But as he speaks to God, he says, I know you. Therefore, I will hope in him. I will wait for him. No matter what. No matter all the hurt, no matter the cost, no matter the confusion, no matter what has transpired in 2020, I'll wait for the Lord. I'll sit and I'll wait for him. I'll wait with patience. I'll wait with confidence. I'll wait with assurance that no matter what, God is faithful. His mercies to his faithful people are new every morning, and his compassions fail not. Even in the face of evil, even in the face of horror, there's one thing that is not negotiable. There's one thing that cannot change. There's one thing that cannot be denied, and that is that his mercies are new every morning. He is faithful. His compassions fail not. And how can you know that? God has come and entered into history and demonstrated that in the person of his Son, who gave his life on the cross of Calvary for sinners like you and me, that there might be rooted in history the knowledge of God's faithfulness. And allow me to conclude just with something Os Guinness wrote in reference to Dostoevsky's book, The Brothers Karamazov. He says, "For Christians who believe that Jesus is the Savior and Messiah of Israel, their faith centers on a scandal that no time can rub smooth and no triumphs ever soften. A tortured criminal, spread-eagled and naked on the instrument of his execution for our sake. The God whom Jesus shows on the cross is one who defeats evil by letting it do its very worst to him and then overcoming it by his resurrection." He goes on, he says, it was this cross that took Dostoevsky to faith through his own hellfire of doubt. Gazing at the suffering of Jesus as he stood in front of a portrait of Christ descent from the cross, he realized the painted scene was more than graphic realism. It was a window into the reality of the universe. If God's Son suffered like this, there could be salvation in the world. And in the Brothers Karamazov, he puts the words in the mouth of Alyosha, who says this, "I do not know the answer to the problem of evil, but I do know love." We do not know all that God is doing in the midst of the confusion and horrors of 2020, but we do know God. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His compassions, they never fail. They are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. Let's pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that in the midst of everything that is swirling round about us, that we can call one thing to mind, that you are faithful, that for your people, your mercies never cease and your compassions never fail. Help us, Father, to rest in that hope. And help us, Father, to trust in you no matter what. For we ask it in Jesus' name, amen and amen.